All right. A little bit different procedure this morning to bring this lesson up. I want to discuss with you what Paul refers to as faithful sayings. The Greek word pistos is often translated faithful, means in an objective sense, trustworthy. In a subjective sense, it means trustful or worthy of trust. So when we're talking about objective and subjective primarily here, we're going to be talking about God says it, therefore you can trust it. In the subjective sense, we have accepted what God has said, are doing what God has said, and therefore become trustful. God can trust us. So we want to look at some of these faithful sayings. These are sayings that we can place our trust in. They are sayings that we can safely act upon. They lead us in paths of righteousness. The phrase faithful saying occurs in the New Testament only in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and in the book of Titus. Of course, these letters were written by the Apostle Paul to the evangelist Timothy and Titus. We will notice that these sayings are the very heart of the gospel message. We will also notice that Paul often included objective and subjective faithful sayings in the same text. Consider, for instance, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed of God. He is our King and He is our Savior. Of course, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we're told in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So the Word of God became in the flesh Jesus of Nazareth. We beheld the glory of God, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is the Christ. He came into the world to save sinners. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6 through 11, Paul expands upon this. Who, meaning Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God while He was the Word of God, if you want to look at it that way, in the heavens. But He made Himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Only Jesus can save sinners. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and it's only Jesus who can save sinners. In John 14 and verse 6, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." In Acts 4 and verse 12, we read, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." No other name under heaven given among men. No other way to the Father except through Him. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not any other religious leader that you can think of, or any other idolatrous god that has ever been erroneously worshiped. There is no other Savior but Jesus Christ. If you have sinned, Jesus is the only one who can save you. And if you are of an accountable age, you would have to acknowledge the truth that we find in Romans chapter 3, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you recognize that you're a sinner, you need to recognize that Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, who came and dwelt amongst us, who died on a cross for our behalf to pay the price of our sin, and rose from the dead to give us a hope of eternal life, that we might live with Him. He is your only hope of salvation. He is the only one who can save you. He came for that very purpose. And if you were the only one who would recognize your sin and repent and turn to Him to be saved, He came for you, if you were the only one. Of course, we can look around and we can see that you're not the only one. But you should be impressed with the fact that He died for you and for me individually in our sins. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's a faithful saying. No one else can do what Jesus did. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 8 through 10, we read that godliness is profitable for all things, having a promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Godliness is profitable for all things. In our adult Bible study this morning, we went back to Deuteronomy. And we notice how that God told the children of Israel that if they loved Him and kept His word, how that they would be profitable in every area of their life. I believe that's true today, too. For those of us who choose to love Him and serve Him and live a godly life, godliness is profitable in all things. This is a faithful saying. You can trust this saying. It is worthy of everyone's acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 through 3, we read, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness." God has given us all things that pertain to godliness, and godliness is profitable for all things. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, we read, "Exercise yourself unto godliness." We're at the time of the year when a lot of people have said they're going to get into an exercise routine physically, and maybe you have. I hope you have. That's good for you. But bodily exercise is only good for the body. Godliness is profitable for all things. We need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? We know what bodily exercise is. What's godly exercise? Well, we need to know about God, don't we? And when we know about God, then we need to put into practice the things that God teaches us, that He has given us everything that pertains to godliness. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." God's given us the word that we might know all godliness. Having come to a knowledge of it, we must put it to work in our life. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, of course, a familiar statement of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, guess what? That's the action of godliness. Exercise yourself unto godliness, because godliness is profitable for all things. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 10 through 12, Paul said, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, for the sake of Christians, for the sake of those who have elected to follow Christ. I do all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. And if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. This is a faithful saying. Well, what is a faithful saying? It could be what comes after that in verse 11, but it also can be that which comes before that in verse 10. That salvation is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's a faithful saying. That's a saying that you can put your trust in. That salvation is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That if you are in Christ, that you are going to share with him in eternal glory. That's an objective statement. Salvation is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. But it's also true and just as faithful and just as trustworthy. And we are prove ourselves to be trustworthy when we trust in Christ and obey him and serve him. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Where? In that eternal glory. If we died with him, if we endure, we prove ourselves to be faithful. In Romans chapter 6, a similar statement is made, and very familiar with this, verses 2 through 4. He says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it, in sin? We made a decision to turn from sin, to die to sin. How can we continue to live in sin? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? What was the purpose that Jesus died? Jesus died to take our sins away, to pay the price of our sin. Why are we baptized? To have our sins washed away in the blood of Christ. We are baptized for the remission of our sins. Jesus died for the remission of our sins. So if I am baptized into his death, I am baptized into the purpose of his death, to take sins away, not to continue in sin, but to take them away. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk with him in newness of life, not in that old life of sin to which we are dead, but in this new life of righteousness and godliness. We died with him. We endure with him. We live with him. We walk with him in his word. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Don't resurrect that old man of sin. He's dead and buried. You live in righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He who himself bore our sins in his own body. Why? That we, being dead to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you are healed. He died so that we might be dead to sin and alive to righteousness. Matthew 5 and verses 10 through 12 reads, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If we died with him, let our sinful man remain dead and live with him. If we endure, endure what? Endure persecutions. Endure the slanders of those who don't love righteousness and godliness. If we endure, we will reign with him. We need to endure as these prophets, as he speaks of, as we've been studying from Ezekiel, and he had to endure with the people. But here's another objective, faithful saying in this same passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at the end of verse 12. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Friend, are you acknowledging Christ as your Savior, or are you denying him? You won't accept him as your Savior. In Matthew 10 and verse 33, Jesus said, whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. In the verse previous to that, he says, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Friend, which is it with you? If you have not confessed Christ, you deny him. If you will confess him, he'll confess you before his Father. But if you continue to fail to confess him as the Savior and accept him as your Savior and to be dead to sin and alive to righteousness, if you will do that, he will confess you before his Father. But if you fail to do that, Jesus said it's the same as denying me. Which have you done? I'm not talking about which are you planning to do. I'm not asking you, which have you done? Have you confessed him, or do you continue to deny him by not confessing him? In Titus chapter 3, in the first 8 verses, we read, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to man. This is a faithful saying. Well, what is a faithful saying? What preceded him saying this is a faithful saying is a faithful saying. Having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I can trust that. You can trust that. That God, having justified us according to his grace, we didn't compel him, we didn't do anything that by which he owed us anything, but he saved us by his grace, that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We can place our trust in that. The hope of eternal life is not an empty fable. It's not an empty promise. The hope that we have of eternal life is something that we can trust in. That's what Paul is saying here. We can trust in the favor of God and his love for us and his desire to save us. We can trust in his word that teaches us about him and in godliness that his word instructs us in. It is validated by his grace. It is validated by God's kindness and by his love and by his mercy. the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. According to His mercy, He saved us. That's a faithful saying. You can trust that. People use the phrase, you can take that to the bank. Well, okay, that's fine. We hope we can trust in our banks, but, you know, banks have been known to fail. Countries have been known to fail. An entire economic system has been known to fail. God doesn't fail. You can trust the sayings of God. There is a hope of eternal life, and that hope is found because of the grace of God, because of His kindness and His love and His mercy. That hope is valid because of His word. But it's also conditional. It's through the washing of regeneration. It is enjoined by baptism. And you can trust that. You can trust the fact that if you are baptized for the remission of your sins, that you have enjoined this hope of eternal salvation that is in Jesus Christ. But if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, if you were baptized, maybe immersed, for a reason other than having your sins washed away in the blood of Christ, then you, as we were reading from Romans chapter 6 there a little bit ago, Romans chapter 6 also tells us that we have to obey from the heart this form of doctrine to which we have been delivered. In other words, we have to have an understanding that when we are baptized, that we are baptized into Jesus Christ. That we are baptized for the taking away of our sins. Our sins are not taken away before we're baptized, but they're taken away in that action of baptism. That God speaks our sins forgiven, and symbolically our sins are washed away in the blood of Christ in that action of obedience. Of being immersed in water. You can trust this. Through the washing of regeneration, we enjoy this hope of salvation that is in Christ Jesus. It is confirmed by the renewed revelation from God and by the Holy Spirit. Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly. Now, it's not in the day that Paul was writing this, it was a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For you and I today, it is a providential outpouring. God provides this outpouring of the Holy Spirit when we drink from the Word of God. That word that the Holy Spirit has given to us, that this inspired, God-breathed Word of God gives us spiritual life. And we know about Him. And we walk in His way. And we're filled with His Word and thereby filled with the Holy Spirit. These things I want to affirm constantly. We need to be reminded of these things over and over. We need to put our trust in these sayings over and over. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly. We need to be reminded of them and return to them over and over. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And so, this hope of eternal life that he's talked about throughout this passage is embraced by maintaining God's good works. That is a faithful saying. If we do not maintain the good works that these words of righteousness and godliness instruct us in, then we should not entertain a hope of everlasting life. Our hope of salvation is based upon the objective statements, faithful word of God, and our responsive, subjective faithfulness to the performance of these good works and maintaining them to the honor and the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10 says it this way: by grace you have been saved through faith. God's objective grace and our subjective response of faith is that which saves us. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Maintain these good works. Let your faithfulness be evident. So what are these faithful sayings that we have noticed this morning? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and you are one. Have you turned to Him? Have you been saved in Him? The living God is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. He's the only hope of salvation. But He is only a Savior to those who believe, who trust Him and obey Him. Salvation is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. Godliness is profitable in all things. It's the promise of God that if I live a godly life, I'll live a profitable life in every area of my life. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. If we died with Him, we will also live with Him. You can be sure, friend, that if you made that decision to die to sin and have maintained that commitment to be dead to sin and to live for Him, that you will indeed live with Him. And He considers you His faithful child of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12, if we endure, we will reign with Him. We will share in His glory, but we must endure. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12. Titus 3 and verse 7, having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you entertain a hope of eternal life? Are you trusting in these objective statements of God? Are you proving yourself to be faithful to Him? Titus 3 and verse 8. Those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And finally, according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration. Titus 3 and verse 5. Have you been regenerated in this washing of regeneration, of baptism? Making that commitment to turn from your sins, to be dead to your sins, to be alive unto Christ, to walk in godliness, to live a godly life according to the instructions of God's Word. If you haven't done that, will you please do that this morning while you have this opportunity? These faithful sayings will by no means pass away. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. These faithful sayings will confront us on the last day, the day of judgment. Let them confront you today. Let them confront you now. Let them save you now rather than condemn you later. He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. These words cannot change. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. Trust Him. Live for Him. Live with Him. Would you make that your decision today? Would you live for Jesus today and always? Would you turn to Him today, turning from your sin and turning to His life of godliness to live for Him so that you might live with Him? And if you're here today as a child of God and you would acknowledge that you have not been maintaining these good works and you need to confess that and have your brothers and sisters pray with you and for you, we'd encourage you to let that be known. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way at all, please come as we stand and sing this song.